Good morning. It's great to be in this house with an extra hour of sleep. Good was that. I had a bad hair morning this morning. I was very tempted to wear a cap. But I just wasn't brave enough. So this morning, you know, I'm really believing that we will shift gears. And I'm talking on the realm of faith. Can we have that first one up there? Thank you. And so faith cometh to your house today. And I just really feel, you know, in this room, there are heroes of faith. In this room, there are people of strength and courage, people that can motivate other people and help each one another in our walk with the Lord, encourage one another, build one another up in the faith, edify one another. Amen? And so I am in Hebrews 11:1. I was actually going to get quite a way through Hebrews 11, but I only got to verse 3. I got so excited, I just thought, no, I'm just going to stay here. So Jono's got the first one up. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. King James, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In another translation, it says, faith is the title deed. I like that one. Living Bible. Now, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it ahead. And so in my life and yours, I am sure you have exercised faith and seen stuff happen. Would that be true? We have a room full of believers here today who will have exercised their faith and seen God move on their behalf. So I was trying to think of, you know, a few testimonies. We overcome by the testimony and the blood of the Lamb. There we go. So I thought, right, I'll think about a few testimonies. Years ago, I lived in Riverton, and we lived down in this home, but there was this hill above us, which there are in Riverton, and when you walked up the hill, there was this amazing view, right from Stewart Island, right round Riverton. And so we went to the real estate agent to ask if the person would sell the land. And it was like, no, that wasn't going to happen. So we'd stand in the kitchen window, and every so often we'd just say, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. And so we're kind of believing in faith that we were going to get this mountain. Many months later, there was this knock at the door in the evening, and it was the real estate agent. And he stood there and he had a stutter, unfortunately, and he said, 60 holes. I'm like, you know, what does that mean? But what it did mean was the person was going to sell us the land for $60,000. Now, you wouldn't get that piece of land in Riverton now for that price. And we were able to build a home up there and enjoy that amazing view. And in my life, like you probably, I've believed for cars. I am not like Jono. I do not buy and sell cars on a regular basis. But when I've needed a car, I've slapped a picture of one up on the fridge and just started believing for it. And in not too long a time, may have happened to you too, I'm driving around in this car. The most crazy story I can tell you about a car is I did this course with Rob and Lynn Packer on the prophetic. And so it was about 6 months. It was all Zoom. And so we studied, you know, discernment, words of knowledge, prophetic, visions, dreams, using your imagination, which God has given us, and faith. And so we, one of our assignments, we had to go and write down 50 things. Can you believe this? 50 things that we wanted. So they weren't all spiritual. They were about, you know, family, things we may have wanted and so on. I could hardly think up 50 things. So third on my list, I wrote this down. I would like a car like this person's. So I knew this person that had this cool car. And it was modern. For us girls, well, for me, cars are more about how they look, not what's under the boot bonnet. So I wrote that on the list. The very next day, I went to visit these people. They didn't know I had this on the list. And in the middle of the visit, they said, "We've got a deal for you." And I was like, "Okay." They said, "Well, we want to take your car and sell it and give you this car." The very car I wrote on the list. So I was like, you know, that was so much. That was amazing. And they were Christians. I told them about this list. I couldn't wait the next week to share this on the Zoom call with everyone. I didn't get the reaction I thought I would get, you know. I shared it and they all went a bit quiet. And I hope Rob and Lynn Packer believed me and didn't think I was just a bit of a nut. Anyway, I knew it was true because I was driving around in it with a smile on my face. You could see a kilometre away. So there's a few examples of when I have exercised my faith. Or that one just was, you know, that was God. Lynn Packer said, "Faith is not a passive thing. Faith is very proactive and powerful. Activate your faith, believe in it, stand firm in it. Resist the devil's attempt to shift you from the faith stance. Deal with conflicting thoughts and imaginations and again stand." Now in life we know things can get difficult, true? The difficult can be difficult, but in that space, if we exercise faith, if we, you know, like, I mean, and I'm in the middle of a difficulty and I'm just saying, "Lord, you're my refuge, Lord, you're my strength, you're my helper, you are my shield, you are my buckler, Lord, I stand in Psalm 91 under the shadow of your wings." And just sit there and I imagine being under the shadow of his wings. That is exercising faith in your difficulty, and you will come out of it sooner than you would if you're sunk in it. True? He lifted us up, as Lyle was saying, out of the deep miry clay, planted our feet on the rock to stay, and established our goings. Amen. Now, faith is a grain of mustard seed. It talks about this in Matthew 17, verse 20, in the latter part of the verse. If we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we'll say to this mountain, "Be thou moved," and it will move, right? So I was having to think about this mountain stuff, and I thought, well, it says that the mountain will be moved when I, you know, if I have that faith. So, you know, we come against mountains in our lives, don't we? And I was just having to think about that. Or sometimes when we exercise faith, the mountain moves. Sometimes when we're exercising our faith in that space, our attitude changes. Or we may find that God is talking to us about forgiveness. And all at once, the mountain has moved because we've exercised faith and believe in God, you'll move this mountain, but sometimes it may be in us. That's what I was just having a thought on that. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. So, we are in the mountain moving business. I'm here to tell you that today we are in the mountain moving business. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty satisfying. And it pays well. Because God is at work in our faith. It's not the greatness of our mountain, it is the greatness of God. It's not the greatness of the enemy or what is coming against you, it is the greatness of our God. Amen. Stir their faith to believe God in our storms. He's a present help in time of need. He gives us the capacity to cope, the capacity to study, the capacity to learn, the capacity to move forward. It's easy though, when things get a bit comfortable, just to flick the old car into cruise. I know you'd need a manual for that, wouldn't you? You know, years ago, we used to get to the top of the hill in the old manual, flick it out of gear and just coast down. Save petrol. There we are. But now, today, in my car, automatic, if I come up to the lights in Tay Street and the lights are on red and I flick the car in neutral and then they go green and I'm still in neutral, what is going to happen? People behind me are going to get very annoyed, aren't they? And it's a bit like that spiritually. You know, if God asks us to move and we stay stalled or stopped, there are people behind us who are depending on us. Our family, our friends, our workmates. I mean, they may not even say anything, the people in workplaces or wherever we are in society, but they know you are the light. They know they can come to you in prayer. And if we sit ourselves on stall or stagnant, you know, and we're not moving where God wants us to move, we're not flowing where He wants us to flow, the people behind us are going to be affected. And sometimes it can be our past. If we're looking in the rear vision mirror, we are not going to see the light go green. And I understand why we may feel like we want to sit in the past a bit longer. Perhaps it's been disappointment or hurt or rejection or offense or fear stops us moving forward. God's not going to force us, but He may prompt us. I read this online in a Bible app actually this morning. It was quite good timing. We need to step back from time to time and remember the past so we can move forward. And life sometimes hits us and we feel like we've gone backwards, but God is faithful to pick us up and keep moving us forward. We are on the journey no matter where we are. In some seasons we move forward quickly and others more slowly, but overall we keep pressing forward. Though we might pause and take a look at the past, we don't want to get stuck in the past. Philippians, Paul's advice, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. Or perhaps we just feel like we're going round in circles, round and round that same mountain. God has not called us to walk round and round the mountain. He's called us to move the mountain. Are there any mountain movers here? Yes, that's right. He hasn't called us to be doing burnouts up the main street, or Mickey's on the beach. He's called us to move forward in Him. Right, our next scripture, Hebrews 11:3. Awesome. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what we've seen was not made out of what was visible. When I read this, I got pretty excited. Sometimes, you know, you can read a scripture and you just catch what God's got in it. In my version, in the Amplified, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. And us as believers believe God created the heavens and the earth. Is that true? Good. We believe that we have eternal life through Jesus and what he did on the cross. We do. So why can't we believe for something in our lives that we need? He supply all our needs. Why can't we believe for miracles? We can. Because we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. This morning when the sun came up, it was just stunning. It was beautiful. Out for a walk, it was lovely. We believe in that. We believe in what we see here. But God made that out of the invisible. Probably out of his imagination, I would think. And so I'm all for God framing my world. He says there, he framed the worlds and made the invisible visible. He made the impossible possible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. With faith, it is possible to please him. It's a complete different mindset, isn't it, to how the world operates, to how we operate in God and through his word. All right. We can't run on flat tires, empty tanks, or the handbrake on. It's not going to work. Faith is the ingredient that gets you out of neutral, into drive, off, stop, stall, stagnant, to the journey of life in Christ, to traction, where some of us have just felt stuck. Today, faith is the answer to get you out of the unstuck. Faith has come to your house today. And we'll see circumstances change. Amen. Gosh, what will you be driving around in next week? Oh, yeah, let me know. Faith is living beyond ourselves. And that's why I love the vision of Church Hat, because it's kind of living beyond ourselves. The hub, the offices, the cafe in town, people coming and going in the community, and then multiple congregations on the weekend. Whew, that's just what got my faith going. I was like, yes, there's a vision we can believe in. Amen. It will happen. It is happening. Connections are already being made, like Jono was saying last week, sharing. All right. Ask your question. What is our philosophy? Philosophy, you know, I had to look it up because I just wasn't so sure about what it was about. A theory or attitude that acts as a guiding principle for behavior. Okay? A theory or attitude that acts as a guiding principle for behavior. Here's a philosophy. I don't expect anything, so you won't be disappointed. Whatever will be, will be. Life is vanity. Life is suffering. Life is love. Philosophy. But what is our philosophy? There's only one mention of this word in the Bible, and it is in Colossians 2:8. We've got that up there. Beware. Okay. First word, beware, okay? I've got to be careful. What are you saying, Lord? Lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so in this world, it's very easy. Don't get sucked into the vacuum of, you know, being what you think the world thinks you should be. In status, in monetary wise, in, you know, all of that. Do you know what I'm saying? How we should act, how we should be, our identity. I mean, there's such an attack on the identity of young people of today. And it was really sad. But if you've got anyone in your life that you want to believe in faith, that there needs to be a turnaround in that department, well, do it and see God move. Don't get sucked into this vacuum of the world's philosophy, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God's philosophy is his word. We got that one there? Yes. And so this is a quote from John Steele, an absolute mighty prophet and man of God, a hero of faith, and him and his lovely wife Julie ministered through New Zealand for years and probably overseas. And this is what he wrote. Your philosophy determines your belief, which determines your attitude. Next one. Which determines your attitude and behavior, which determines your character and your destiny. I know that's quite a lot to take in, but it's quite true. What I believe is going to affect my attitude, and then it's going to affect my behavior and my character and the destiny of who I am going to be. As a father, as a mother, as a, you know, single person, married person, whatever. As a grandma, as a granddad. All of that is going to affect how it's going to look in my future. And, of course, in God. We want to take on his belief system because he said, God's philosophy is his word, this. And it is full of hope, it is full of mercy, it is full of truth, it is full of justice. What else is it full of? You tell me. Promises. Grace. Sorry? Love. Oh, yes. Yes. All of these things. I'm sure as you meditate on that, you will think about so many things in his word. The philosophy of God's word will bring faith. That's what he says. That's what makes faith come. That's what makes the heart arise to the journey. Because lately I've been a bit comfortable and I think, oh man, I've just been cruising along, you know, like we have. It's time to shift up a gear, to take on faith and see God move in circumstances and in our lives going forward, not going backwards, not looking backwards, but forwards in him, forwards in our job perhaps, forwards in whatever we are involved in, because we're mountain movers. And by the way, if you're moving a mountain, please don't move it into my backyard. Just to say, we are moving mountains because we have that faith, just as a grain of mustard seed. And so today, faith comes to your house. This book I've talked about is not a book of ifs and maybes. It's a holy book. It's a holy book. It's a book about how to please God. We take on what he says in here, we will please God, about making the impossible possible. So what are we believing for? What are we believing for? Personally, family-wise, job-wise, spiritually, revival, miracles? You know, come on. There's just more, isn't there? There's just more than what we're seeing. And that's what I want to step into. That's what I want us all to step into. Because what was my title? Faith cometh to your house. Faith cometh to my house in here. Faith cometh to my household. I mean, I've got kids that are not following the Lord. Faith cometh to my household. I'm just going to grab a hold of that and believe again. You know, I've had a back issue since November. I'm pretty sick of the pain. Faith cometh to my house, believing for no pain. Amen? And you will all have something too. Who here has nothing going on that they don't need to exercise faith for? I come and ask you later, how come? Because there's always something we can exercise our faith in. Ooh, praise God. So I just got excited about this subject again. It's one of my favorite subjects, I know. But personally, family-wise, spiritually, I've got to exercise my faith. Hey, and if you feel like you've got nothing, there's certainly plenty of vision in the house church at to believe God for. There's some mountains to move, but believe and you will receive. That's what he says. God is not Santa Claus, by the way. That is not the system we work in. We work in faith. We don't work in the Santa Claus idea. Let's believe together as a church for the vision of this house to miraculously take place. And it will. It will. You and me, we have no doubt God will do it. God loves doing stuff like that. And we will rejoice and celebrate and praise in our worship. Woo! We're going to praise when we move these mountains and stuff starts to happen. And we will arise to the call, build altars on the way, as Jonna was talking about last week, and journey this journey together in faith. Amen. That's me. Bless you.
Very good. Great word. Troy, I want you to come grab a microphone and a guitar. You can exercise faith right now. Fantastic. Hey, it was a great word, and I concur. It's timely for us as a church. Because when we hear vision, when God deposits vision, whether it's a corporate church vision or whether we receive something from God for our own lives, for our family, there's always opposition to that initiative that God gives. And I know in the background we've seen some significant breakthroughs, but we've also seen some significant opposition because we endeavor to step out in faith to advance the kingdom. And the enemy does not want us to advance. He wants us to settle. There's a reason why there's a lot of settler churches in the country is because the enemy has them trapped in a settler mindset. But we're not called to be settlers. We're called to be pioneers to go out and take new ground territory. And when we go to take territory off the enemy, he doesn't sit passive. We're taking ground that he's held for generations. But we're going in faith in Jesus' name. So there's opposition. But it doesn't mean it's a battle of equals because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The devil might be mighty, but God's almighty, right? So our faith activates the might of God. And this morning, I just have a sense that in lives there have been some significant opposition. And you may think it's, it's just normal, it's nothing extraordinary. But any sense of opposition that holds you back from actually advancing is opposition that we need to push against in Jesus' name. And part of my nature of the gift that's on my life, I attack passivity. When the atmosphere is hard, I attack it. Most people would settle and play defensive. I play attack. I'm an offensive player, not a defensive player. Does that make sense? I just wish the Highlanders played some more offense. Amen. That's why I'm following Moana Pacifica right now. Whoop, whoop. Amen. But for us here today, I just have a sense, as I'm just sensing the atmosphere, just praying, God, where do you go from here? I just have a sense that this morning, I want to open up the altar, and I just want to give people opportunity to step out in faith and say, to the spirit realm, no more am I going to allow this to be in my world. No longer am I going to tolerate, you know, a sense of being passive or not rocking the boat or just allowing what I consider to be normal anymore. I want to step out in faith and see what lies ahead come into being in the name of Jesus. Be like Abraham. He called into being those things that are not as though they are. He saw something in the future and he called it in. And that's what it means to be prophetic. It means to activate the word of God and put it into your world, call to be in those things that are not, as though they are in Jesus' name, and start stepping out in faith. This morning, I'm going to invite us to stand. Troy's going to lead us in a song that's going to open up a time of ministry. And if you have a sense right now in your heart that, man, I've been trying to shake something or something's been opposing me and I need to get beyond this, make a statement this morning. Step out in faith and take a prophetic walk from your seat to the altar this morning and reach out to the Lord and start calling on Him. Say, God, this is what you've called me to do. This is what you have ahead of me. I call those things that are not as they are right now in Jesus' name. And start activating faith, the faith that Shirley was talking about this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? So how about we stand to our feet? Troy's going to lead us in a song. And if you need to come, just respond in Jesus' name.